You're going to love my next guest. Scott Medlin stopped by the show. He's worked in law enforcement since 2007. Prior to that, he was a United States Marine. He was deployed for Operation Iraqi Freedom in 2003 and in 2005. He was then discharged from the Marine and earned his bachelor's degree. Through deployments and time in law enforcement, Scott has valued inspiring others. Scott has helped fellow officers keep marriages together, pull through difficult financial times, overcome depression, and provide encouragement whenever an officer needed it. We need more officers like Scott. Scott shares his mental health fights and other obstacles that faced him in his books and his publications as a means to teach others on how to become aware and, most importantly, on how to overcome. You do not want to miss this episode. Scott Medlin, next on the Criminal Justice Evolution Podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Patrick here, host and creator of the top-ranked Criminal Justice Evolution Podcast. Top-ranked because of you, the listener and supporter. Thank you so much for the continued support. Over the years, you have been here, and we appreciate it. If you're a first-time listener, welcome. We know you're going to love the show. Long-time listener, welcome back. Big shout-out to all the brave men and women working in the criminal justice field. Whatever you were doing, wherever you were at, thank you for doing it. Remember this. You are honored, cherished, and above all, you are loved. Please rate and review this podcast. We sure would appreciate it. Give us that 5-star rating on Apple Podcast. Folks, I want to tell you about my good friends at Detect-A-Chem. This amazing company is protecting our brave men and women who protect us every day, keeping them safer by offering mobile threat detection that fits in the palm of your hand, detecting illicit drugs, explosives, now COVID-19. Folks, you need this application-based technology for your organization. Head over to cjevolution.com, see the link to Detect-A-Chem, and see how they can help keep your troops safer. Are you heading to the gym? Then you want to represent your profession, then that would be law enforcement. You need to get some kick-ass apparel from the one and only Badge Life. From tank tops, hoodies, to gym gear, they have it all. You're going to love everything that they have. Their link is in the show notes. And it was made, this apparel, this company was made for you, the law enforcement professional, and it was made by another law enforcement professional. Again, folks, the Badge Life, grab their gear. You're going to love it. The link is in the show notes. Just sitting here sipping on my delicious lion's mane mushroom coffee from my good friends at Four Sigmatic. This amazing coffee gives me the energy, the zip, the clarity that I need for my hectic days. You're going to love their products. Head over to cjevolution.com. See the link to Four Sigmatic and get 15% off of your purchases using the promo code CJEVO. On to this great show with Scott Medlin. Hello, everybody. Very excited to have my next guest on the show. He's all over social media. At least I see him all the time. Scott Medlin is on the show. Welcome, brother.
Thank you for having me here, Patrick. It's great to be on this podcast.
Man. I appreciate you being here, brother. Now, for those people who don't know who Scott Medlin is, can you give us your background really quick, sir?
Right quick, 13 years in law enforcement. Last year, had the burning desire to help fellow police officers when I heard that more of us were dying by our own hands and actually being killed in the line of duty. So I wrote a book, Mental Health Fight of the Heroes in Blue, in order to help teach police officers how to mentally survive this job. And then I wrote another book, 101 Health Tips for Police Officers, all just to help us in this fight that we're battling, not only with dealing with violent crimes and get media attention, but now the battle within our own mental health.
Yeah, so important, brother. And like I said, I'm excited to have you on the show because I want to talk about your books again and your work, talking about mental health and other issues that first responders are dealing with. But first of all, I mean, you have service way beyond just law enforcement, brother. You were in the Marine Corps, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yes, I was. I was in the Marines. In the Marines. My actual first day of reporting in after boot camp was 9/11/2001.
Wow.
I'll never forget calling my dad and just saying, Dad, I don't know when, but I am going to go to a war at some point. I mean, there's no way this is going to go unanswered. And Anyway, 2003 and 2005 deployed to Iraq, both
Wow.
in 2003 and 2005. So it was definitely a challenging time, and that was kind of my first experience with dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms. And yeah, but the brotherhood of going through something like that, I could call up any of my Marines right now, and it would be like we were
Yeah.
talking yesterday. It really was an amazing, life-changing experience.
Yeah, that's how it was when, I mean, it's the same thing, brother. I was in the army and I can call up a somebody or get on Facebook or something social with a friend that I haven't talked to in 20 years, and you're exactly right. It's like we were talking yesterday. It's that
Absolutely.
camaraderie, it's that brotherhood that makes the military and law enforcement so special. So once again, thank you for your service, brother, in the service and in law enforcement. Now, what made you get into law enforcement? First of all, what made you join the military? Is it in your family? Is it in your blood or what?
I was in a history class in high school, and the teacher was a Navy corpsman, and he
Oh,
was
there it
really
is.
impressive.
Yeah.
And then that summer, I did yard work for a retired Marine Corps colonel. And he asked me, "Well, what do you want to do with your life after high school?" And I said, "Oh, I don't know. Maybe join the army." He said, No. Wait." So he gave me this big long spiel about the Marine Corps. And then I got to meet a Marine Corps recruiter, and he was wearing his dress blues. And I
Oh
said,
yeah.
"Yep, that's for me."
Yeah, you're sold on the
But
uniforms.
I was sold on the uniforms, but honestly, I needed more discipline and drive. I was not a very ambitious student in high school, and
Yeah.
he basically said, "Hey, the Marine Corps gets you there. It'll get you the discipline you need." And it did.
Yeah. And then what about, so you transition, you serve honorably in the Marine Corps, do some tours in Iraq. Thank you again. And then you transition into law enforcement. Now, did you always want to be a police officer, or was it just, how did you decide to get into law enforcement?
I knew I wanted to go into law enforcement. When I was a little kid, I was in my mom's car in the garage. I looked up the road and I saw a guy who did not live in the neighborhood going door to door, but he was also looking in windows of the houses he was going up. It didn't sit right with me.
Yeah.
And I told my mom that guy's being suspicious. She called the police, and I just remember being so scared and wanting them to arrive. And that just kind of got the wheels turning. Like, I want to be that person to arrive when someone's scared and needs help. That's what got the wheels turning. And then I did a ride along with the local police department at 17 years old, and I was converted immediately. I was like, "Yep, I'm going to do this." And after I got out of college, after I got out of the Marines, I went into law enforcement and haven't regretted that decision one bit.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? Because the military was like a natural, and I have cop blood in my family. I had a lot of were relatives that were Chicago cops, so it was just a natural progression. A lot of people in the military, as you know, brother, they just kind of gravitate, towards law enforcement, because I miss the, the structure and, and chain of command and all that other stuff and the discipline. So, and then, so I just gravitated, towards law enforcement. And like you, I got hooked as soon as I.
I think 25 to 30% of law enforcement officers are prior military, and that's a big chunk.
That's a big chunk, but it's a good chunk in my opinion. Not to knock people who join who
Oh,
aren't
absolutely.
military, but I think, that's huge, because I think, law enforcement or military, as you know, bring, the discipline, the, all that stuff that they've learned, teamwork, leadership skills. Again, not saying that people who aren't in the military don't bring that. It's just a natural progression from, military to law enforcement. So yeah, brother, thank you for doing a very, and you're still a law enforcement officer, and it's again a very difficult time. So I just wanted to ask you, I mean, how is, from your lens, brother, I know you're down in North Carolina, how is, law enforcement dealing with the COVID? I mean, you see it all over the news. I mean, how are agencies in North Carolina dealing with COVID, and how is it affecting their services?
The department I was working with up until August really got lucky early on, where officers were not getting infected with the virus. So manpower, even though it was already low just because of staffing issues to begin with, because law enforcement's kind of having a hard time right now being up to manpower, but it didn't affect it that bad because nobody was really getting infected with the virus. As of late, though, from what I've been told with the city department that I used to work with, the officers are finally starting to get hit with it, and they're going out. They're all getting better, but
Yeah.
th that's hitting them. I'm working at a university now. I'm a campus police officer. Obviously, we get concerned because the students are congregated into the dorms. They actually did move back on campus, and so there are cases that pop up, and it's, you know, it runs through your mind. Oh shoot. Was I that student at any given time? I don't want to live in fear, but I don't want to get COVID if I haven't had it already. But it's just it's tough because also, as we were talking earlier, we're trained to be aware of people and their body language. It's really, I find it very challenging to talk to people while wearing a mask and they're wearing a mask. I feel like I'm not connecting. And we're all about connecting with someone and building a rapport with someone, whether they're being violent or passive with us, you have to build a connection. It's just extra challenging to do that with a mask on.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting into the mask debate. I'm just strictly talking about the challenge of the job. But that's one thing I've noticed. And then also when it comes to an officer's morale and health, well, a lot of officers do the right thing by having something they enjoy doing outside of work. Obviously, with these lockdowns and with places closing early, depending on where you live, or even if they're not open and all these restrictions in place, it's hard to find a refuge outside of work. And that's what's made it even tougher on top of the demands of seeing the traumatic scenes or dealing with violent people. I could go on, but it's been pretty, it's added to the challenge of already the challenges that were in place.
Yeah, and that's a great segue into, you know, the mental health and the wellness of our brave men and women that work that you do so very well with our first responders. I was talking to a friend of mine a couple of days ago who's still on the job, and he gets depressed a lot because, like you said, I mean, it's already a job that's we're isolated anyway, you know, most of,
yes,
you know, we're driving around. It's just us most of the time. You know, but now, you know, people are wearing, you know, cops have to wear a mask and stuff. So he said, you know, he has a hard time with it. I mean, it's not to mention the anti-police sentiment out there and defund and all this other stuff that's going on. Yeah, it just can take a toll, obviously, on our first responders. I mean, obviously you're still doing it, brother, and you talk about this, but people probably talk to you all the time. They read your material. I mean, what are you hearing out there as far as, you know, a lot of the problems that first responders are dealing with?
It stinks to hear that someone likes that they're answering the calling that they felt to protect others, serve their community, and other first responder areas as well. You know, the firefighters and EMS personnel, they're answering something, they're answering that calling. But with all these added challenges, it really is tough to hear someone say, I got to get out of it.
Yeah,
I don't know how much more of this I can take. That's difficult. And that's when I try to interject and say, look, there's things we can do daily with our minds, with our bodies that can help help us to cope. And that's the main thing, because we have to cope anyway, regardless of we have to cope anyway because of what we see and what we deal with, which is something that the majority of the population will never see, never understand. But also the human mind is just not wired innately to see in the first place,
exactly.
In which I talk about that in my book, Mental Health Fight of the Heroes in Blue, that we're not immune to what we see. But it's very tough when I hear a lot of law enforcement officers who were having fun, all of a sudden, just it's like now it's just like, what are we doing? And that's tough.
Yeah. And I like what you said, brother. I liked it all. But I love really I honed in on what you said about mindset, because it really is what you're talking about is we need to change our mindset. There's still, and I'm a big believer in, you know, having a gratitude practice and having the, you know, correct mindset. Yes, times are tough, times suck, you know, but in my opinion, it could always be much worse. And thank God, you know, that there's brave men and women that are still doing it like you, and people that are still getting into it when people are getting out, because there is a lot of good in this profession. And I believe it's a resilient profession, and we bounce back. We're a very resilient profession. Yep. But let's get back to mindset really quick. I mean, what do you do as far as keeping your own self mentally well, brother, and keeping yourself, you know, from getting discouraged? I mean, I'm sure you have bad days like everybody does, but what do you do to keep yourself on track, to keep you positive and upbeat?
Learn from my mistakes. What I'm talking
like
about
we
is
all do.
Negative.
Yeah, we all do.
Right. My first year, I got sucked into this little negative group at the department.
Mm-hmm.
They were so disgruntled. And it was my first year. I was very impressionable, obviously, like any rookie would be. And I got sucked into that. And I quit and went to another department, realized the mistake I made, and came back, begged to come back. Fortunately, they took me back. But negativity, I really stay away from negativity. I always tell fellow officers when they pull up to talk to me or they find me in the office and want to talk and they want to vent about something, I say 5 minutes. That's all we can give ourselves is 5 minutes. And then we have to talk about solutions to something if we can fix it. We just can't ramble on for an hour upon hour venting and being negative, because people of a certain administration rank cannot make everyone happy to begin with.
No.
So we can't just talk about, we cannot just talk about that endlessly.
No.
But I also, I made a promise to myself when I started the career. Obviously there's a stereotype about police officers being overweight. I made a promise to myself. I was going to exercise because I really hadn't, I knew I wanted to be ready for any call that went out over the radio. I wanted to be ready physically, but I had no idea up until doing the research for my book, just how much exercise can help someone's mindset and their ability to handle stress. And I tell officers that are reluctant to get into it, you don't have to be Mr. Olympia next week. You can start, 5 minutes tomorrow and then 10 minutes the next day and work your way up. So don't get down on yourself because you're out of shape. So it's staying away from negativity, exercise. But I also, the last thing I'll bring up, and I do many other things, but the last thing I bring up is actually a call to action that I put in my book. And this helped me work my way out of depression, was at the beginning of the day, write down 3 things that I'm grateful for. And then at the end of the day, write down 3 things that were good that happened during that day. And even if it was a bad day, the fact that I'm breathing, able to write and sing means that I have things to be thankful for. And when I was depressed, my mind refused to see those things.
Yeah.
And you have to write them down. You can't text them to yourself. You can't think about it. You actually have to write them down because it's like a contract. You know, it's in ink. It's on paper. It's done. The mind has recognized it.
Yeah.
So those are some things.
Yeah, and I wasn't laughing about what you were saying. I was just laughing because I do the same stuff, dude. My feet don't hit the floor before I get out of bed without going through a gratitude practice in my mind.
Awesome.
First of all, I'm grateful for my beautiful wife that's right next to me. I'm grateful for that I'm alive. I'm grateful that I get to spend time with my family again. I just go outside and I thank God that I have this day. I'm here one more day.
Exactly.
And I tell people, you know, when they go on these you know what sessions about how life sucks and everything else. Yeah, life's challenging. It's meant to be challenging, but it's how you look at things. What, right? 80%, you know, is how we react to stuff. 20% is the problem, but 80% is how we react. So I love what you said about gratitude, because we can't control a lot of stuff that goes on in the world, but we can control the 6 inches between our ears. And we're very powerful when it comes to, you know, your thoughts become things. And so,
But
the one thing I would add to that, brother, and I love your list, is I used to tell officers, you got to get friends outside of law enforcement, man.
Yes.
You have to get friends. I mean, some people might disagree with me, but my world opened up when I started getting friends outside of law enforcement. And I thought, well, shit, this person's not a criminal. Like I was, trained to believe that if you don't have a gun or a badge or a shield, you know, you're one of them.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's a us against them mentality. And the reality is, in my opinion, I think most people are good. Yeah, they, you know, people make mistakes, but we deal with that small percentage, and that can leave officers jaded. Like you said, my department was, you know, every department I think is the same. They have those, you know, negative officers, but I always encourage people to get some friends outside of law enforcement, keep you balanced. And that helped me.
Yeah,
that helped me
a
lot.
I agree 100%. It has helped me as well. That's a great point. Yep.
Yeah. And I tell people, you know, shit, well, you know, what are you going to do when you got a law enforcement? Well, you know, I want to start a company. I want to do this. And the same people that you don't like are probably the same people who are going to have to help you.
That's very true. Very true.
So what would you, let me ask you this, brother. I mean, again, you're doing the job. I retired from the job. So if I came to you and said, hey, Scott, you know, I'm really, really thinking about getting into law enforcement. What would your take? What advice would you give me?
It's a good question. I have a law enforcement, I have a YouTube channel called the Law Enforcement Motivation Channel. It's gaining some steam. I'm very grateful for the subscribe. It's gaining some steam. But in many, many videos, I stress the point, who are you and why do you want to do it? If you are someone who feels called to be of service or feels called to the job, then that's a good thing. If you are someone who is needing a job and needs bill because you have bills to pay, law enforcement's not it. If how do you react during challenges as well? Like who what type of person are you during a challenge? Because obviously law enforcement has many challenges, including dealing with the worst society has to offer in the sense of dealing with people when they're at their worst. And then why do you want to do it? What is your reason? And I encourage people, and I read about this in Dean Graziosi's book, Millionaire Success Habits, where you play the why game. You say your first reason, why do you want to do it? Well, I want to protect my community. Okay. Why? And then you ask yourself why seven times, dig deep. Like, what is your reason for wanting to do it? And once again, if it's, you are someone who just needs a job, don't do it. So I tell them before you get in it, you need a solid foundation as to who you are and why you want to do it. And I mentioned that in my videos. When someone does get into it, now I tell them you need to be ready to work on you just as much as you work on that job, because it is something that can suck the life right out of you. And I'm speaking from experience on this. Yeah. I almost lost my marriage because of it at one point. So that's the advice I would give.
Yeah. And that's great advice. And I love what you said, man. You really obviously have to be passionate about it. In my career, towards the end of my career, I saw a couple people get through an FTO program. One of them quit right before she was about to exit out on her own and become a solo officer. And then another one quit about halfway through. And the point in that is like, there's so much information out there. I not only have to be passionate about it, but for those people out there listening that want to get into law enforcement, do your research, go on ride-alongs, ask questions.
Yes.
But I think some people just watch what's on TV or the movies and they say, hey, that looks like fun shit. I want to go do that. Kick in doors.
No, it's nothing like that. No, not at all. And I've seen many officers quit when they get through and they get into training, and many of them I've heard some of them say, oh, this wasn't what I thought it was. And then they turn in their gear. Yeah. I'm like, well, what did you think it was? You went all the way through the rookie school being taught what it was. And now you get out there, or one said, oh, I can't work night shift. Well, you knew you were going to. That's what I'm telling people. That's why I tell people in my videos, have a solid foundation. And also one other thing I would like to add.
Go ahead.
For those getting into it, when you are in charge, you mess up, you fess up. You're going to make mistakes. And the more you defend yourself when you make a mistake, the harder it is on you. We're all going to make mistakes no matter how much we're in, no matter how long we're in the career. Just be willing to admit I made a mistake and then learn from it. Keep pushing forward.
Yeah, that's such great advice. And I've seen more careers get into trouble, some end, because of what you just said, brother. And you probably have too. When people F up, make mistakes, they don't fess up to it. They blame other people. They blame what, their dog, you know, their partner or whatever. And it could have been a done deal if they just would have said, look, I'm sorry, I effed up. It won't happen again. Okay.
Right.
Okay, bam. But where officers get into trouble, one way is just digging the hole, digging it deeper by saying, and I tell people, you know, students, because I teach, I say, you know, we're in an information business. We're going to find the truth.
Yes.
Eventually. So, do yourself a favor. So, yeah, great advice, you know, that you gave, you know, the person out there, the listener who might be toying with the idea of getting into law enforcement. Let's talk about your books, brother. Tell me about your books. Tell the listener.
The first one, Mental Health Fight of the Heroes in Blue, that started whenever I realized back in January that more police officers in 2019 had died by suicide than in the line of duty. But here's the problem. I had no idea about that. Like 12 years on the job, I had no idea that more were committing suicide. And if I didn't have a clue, who knows how many others didn't have a clue. There's something wrong with that. And I thought, I mean, it was like God smacked me in the back of the head and said, okay, write a book. I mean, I just heard it. It was like, write a book. I thought, yeah, I'm not a certified instructor per the state that I work in, so I can't teach. But I said, you know what? I'm going to take what I've learned through my many hours of being in the shrink's office and just willing to do the research. I'm going to write this book. It has helped officers. I know it has helped officers. It has helped people who are not even in law enforcement. It has helped them as well. But that's what started the first one, where I think it's a big problem that this suicide thing is not well known. Now, I think the push is being made now, but sadly, that's because so many have died by their own hand.
You can't hide anymore. I mean,
no, you really can't. You really can't. And in 2019, it was in 2019, it was 228. That count has gone up since then. And then 2020, the numbers are going to keep going up. It's very sad. It's very sad. And I think that law enforcement across the country, there need to be more mental health, physical health training in the rookie schools, in the police academies, because that's when people are most impressionable. It's very hard to teach a 10-plus year veteran to, new habits to take care of themselves. They'll be like, oh, I'm good. Leave me alone. I mean, that's the way it is. So you have to be vulnerable and you have to be willing to admit, I'm not okay. The job has affected me. But anyway, I know that was a long-winded answer.
I love it. Now, what do you think, I mean, from your lens, brother? I mean, again, you're still in it. How are, in your neck of the woods, I mean, how are officers treated? Again, you can't speak for every law enforcement agency out there. But if an officer with agencies you're familiar with comes and says, you know, look, I'm struggling, I need some help. I mean, I know departments differ. Some departments are like, oh, it's a sign of weakness. Other departments are really good at it, you know, with giving the officers resources they need to get them better. So what is it like, or what's your opinion on that? I mean, do you think officers are getting the help they need, or are they getting shunned, or what?
I'm only speaking off personal experience. Sure. The department I worked with for the last 12 years up until August before I went to the university setting reinstated a chaplain program. And the chaplains that were there, they were great. I utilized one of them in particular several times. I think the chaplain program has helped. However, officers that I know are really reluctant to talk to strangers who are not fellow cops.
Yeah, so like, more peer support they want.
But the peer support's even kind of tough at times because there's gossip rings in police departments and they're worried that word will get out and they don't want that to happen. But also, yes, there is the concern about, will I lose my job? And I think it's up to each administration to make it very clear to their officers, if you need help, we would rather you get help than you, heaven forbid, kill yourself, but also get such in a bad place mentally that you end up doing something out on the road that gets you in trouble and has irreversible damages to someone's family, all because your mental health wasn't right.
Yeah. And I like what you said about we need to start doing more at the beginning, not just the administration, but in the academies. You know, I know the academies are packed. They got curriculum. You know, they have certain things, skills and all that other stuff that they have to teach. And it's packed in with the hours, requirements and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But we have got to start doing a better job at teaching these young men and women at the beginning in the academies and dedicating more time. That's not going to solve all the problems. But at least if you give that foundation to them, that they're hearing more of this.
Right.
Officer wellness at the beginning of their career in the academies, I think hopefully that's going to be a foundation that carries them, you know, into, you know, their whatever department they land in.
Oh, 100%. And I am going to work on developing a lesson plan based on my book that will be sent to police academies, rookie schools, basic law enforcement training schools that hopefully they'll accept, they'll push because something's got to be done. And I also think that through 12 years, of law enforcement. Well, I'm at 13 now, but I've only been through since rookie school where they taught about handling stress just for like a 2-hour block. I've only had one 45-minute class on mental health. That's unsat. Yeah. I mean, that's not good.
Yeah, you know, isn't it amazing, brother? And that we're so good. And I talk about this a lot. We're so good at taking care of other people, you know, other people.
Yeah.
That's part of the job. I totally get it. But overall we suck at taking care of each other and our own mental health. And it shouldn't be that way, man. It has to change.
It really does. And the thing is, it can. I mean, a lot of officers say, well, yeah, you're saying it has to change, but it can't. I'm like, yes, it can. Start 5 minutes a day with something, some kind of mental health exercise, and then just work your way up. And before you know it, after 66 days, it's a habit you don't even have to think about. Yeah. But work on something. Work on yourself a little bit each and every day. And one of the best quotes I ever heard was, if you work 1%, I'm going to see if I can phrase it right. If you work on yourself 1% each day and try to get better each day, a year from the day you started, you'll be 365% better.
Yeah, it's the compound effect. You know, you can't just wish for things to get better and shit falling in your lap that things are gonna get better.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the person who's overweight, brother, it goes to the gym. It starts with that first step, right? And then
sooner
or later they get transformed.
Right.
But you had to put in the work.
Right.
You know, you really do.
Everybody
wants something to happen, but you got to put in the work.
You do have to put in the work. And what I point out in my book, Mental Health Fight of the Heroes in Blue, our brains are not innately wired to deal with what we go through. And an officer can say, whatever, I'm tough. I'm calling the BS on that. In my book, and this is where some of them are like, what do you mean I'm not tough? I'm tough. Our brains do not register tough. We do tough things. We make tough choices, but our brains are innately wired to protect us. And we're running into dangerous situations that everyone else is running away. They're doing the natural thing. We're doing the unnatural thing. And stress hormones are being fired off and chemicals. And we're literally having reactions within our body because we're human.
Yeah.
You can't tell me this job won't affect you.
No, you can't. And I don't care. I was that guy. Oh, I'm tough. I was in a tough military unit. You were a Marine guy. You were a Marine. Mm-hmm. You've seen some shit. But eventually, it might not bother you initially. But
correct.
It's accumulation of things that you can see. I agree with you 150%, brother. There's only so much death and trauma and sorrow and all that. We're not, like you said, we're not wired to accept that. And I don't care who you are out there. Mm-hmm. If you think you're going to just shrug it off, it's going to manifest itself in other ways. You mentioned you were able to save your marriage. I wasn't able to save my marriage after 20 years. And a lot of that was my doing and my PTSD and my mental health stuff that I had to deal with. And, you know, my anger and all this other stuff until I got help.
So, right.
Yeah. It's just, you need, if you're suffering out there, brother, and it's like, you'll tell them too, you got to get some help. There's resources out there. Like what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, no, there's definitely resources. I think there's more of a push now. I'm in touch with a chief of police in California. I mean, he is really pushing wellness for his officers. He bought several of my books. I was honored.
That's awesome.
And he has a wellness library at his department and where officers can go when they need something to help them.
I think I know
deal
who
with
you're talking about. I think it might be, we'll talk about it off the air. I think I know who you're talking about.
Awesome.
But that's awesome, brother. So we talked about that one book. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your other book, the 101 health tips for police officers.
Awesome. Well, it was in Mental Health Fight of the Heroes in Blue. I went over a few things people can do. And then there were experts that wrote, there was a psychologist, life coach, and neuro-linguistic programming doctor. They each wrote excerpts for the book. I felt like I just needed to dive into more things officers could do to stay healthy. So that's why I wrote 101 health tips for police. And it's literally 101 things. Do I expect anyone to remember 101 things? I don't even remember.
But it's a resource.
But it is a resource. I make it very clear in the beginning of the book, even if you pick up just one thing from this book and work on it and make it daily, then you're one more step ahead than what you were. So it's literally a book where there's 25 things about how to be physically fit for duty, 25 things about socially fit for duty and life, spiritual and mental. I mean, it covers the full spectrum.
I love it. And everything we talk about for the listener out there who's listening to this, a great show. It's going to be linked up in the show notes, Scott's books. Tell us about the YouTube channel really quick, brother.
It's mainly content centered around the books, but I do get subscribers sometimes who request videos regarding certain topics like, hey, I'm getting ready to go to the police academy. Can you give me advice? So I make a video about that. I'm doing that right now. I made two videos about how to stay awake on night shift the healthy way rather than drinking 16 cups of coffee and Red Bull and throwing your central nervous system completely out of whack. And one other thing I forgot to mention about 101 health tips for police. Whenever someone's reading that book, if they think, oh, this won't, once again, the job won't affect me, I'm good, I'm healthy. One, we're not perfect. We're never going to be. We can always do that much more for ourselves. But there are police officers and then a spouse of an ex-officer who wrote their powerful stories for the book and wrote their testimony as to how health deteriorated. And one of them you're just going to have to read about. She's a ex-spouse of an ex-officer. I'm not even going to go into it. It's you got to read that story.
Yeah. And like I said, brother, I admire, great guests like you that come on because for the listener again out there who's listening and saying, well, Scott doesn't know what I'm talking about. He doesn't have the problems I have, or my problems are unique. Your problems aren't unique. Your problems, a lot of people are suffering with the same problems.
Yeah.
The point is that there's resources out there like Scott. You know, go to his website, check out his YouTube channel. You do not have to suffer by yourself.
No,
there's a lot of resources.
You really don't. If you're going through antisocial thinking or asocial tendencies, or you're always tired, you feel rotten, family's falling apart, and you think it's all of them, look in the mirror. It might be you. I'm not. You never
That's
know.
How I was.
Or at the worst case scenario, you're actually having suicide ideations.
Yeah.
Which I can say is statistically more likely than someone getting killed on duty. So I mean, it's concerning. But if you're feeling all this, any of this, I mean, I've been there. I've been addicted to things as well. But I worked my way through it. It's all relatable in this book. And yes, I do go into how the brain is wired, but I don't write it in a way that it's confusing. Come on, I'm a cop.
So no cops can't read.
That's why I made the book short.
Bunch of pictures.
Yeah. No crayons though.
Well, brother, where can people find you? And everything's going to be linked up in the show notes, but people want to reach out to Scott Medlin. Where can they find you, brother?
LEOmotivation.com is a good place to start because it has the books, my vlog, it has the videos that are on my YouTube channel. But Amazon.com is where the books are. I'm just a self-published author on Amazon. So, but LEOmotivation.com, and you can get started there with your journey on how to improve, and you can join the effort because we're all on the same road that we have to take day in and day out to take care of ourselves before we can take care of others. Because if we don't take care of ourselves, we're not going to be able to show up 100% exactly for the public that demands we come and expects us and deserves our good service.
Yeah. You've heard of the saying, brother, I'm sure you have, where, you know, you're on a flight, you've been on a flight and the mask drop, who do you put it on first?
Yourself. Absolutely.
Because like you said, 100%, if you're not taking care of Scott, mind, body, you know, physical, take eating right and all this other stuff, how are you going to go out there and give 110% to the community?
Oh, you can't.
And everything comes back, man. And, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. There's a lot of resources, brother. Scott, you're an amazing guest, brother. I'd love to have
you
back on the show, brother. Everything we talked about is going to be linked up in the show notes. Anything I can do for you, brother, you have my contact information. Please reach out.
I appreciate it, Patrick. I really do. And I, all the law enforcement officers out there who are listening to this, any first responder at all, stay focused. Remember why you got into it. Just remember that solid reason. And maybe that is just the push you need to keep you in it one more day, because there are people out there calling 911 and they need the best version of you to show up. You can do it. I'm here for you in any way I can. Let's get through this.
Well said, brother. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.